Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
And welcome to a Monday edition of Deep Dive. How you doing this Monday, Andy?
The Vikings lost a quarterback, a game, and it's raining. I won money.
So it's a beautiful.
Whatever. We're up cash.
So typical fall Monday in Minnesota, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it was a down weekend though for the Vikings. There's no doubt about that. An up weekend for the Pats, and in general, just an up weekend for NFL handicapping. I felt like pretty much everyone that I have affinity for in the world of NFL handicapping had a smashing weekend. So it was a pretty upbeat Sunday night. I feel like overall, a lot of guys posted big winning cards.
It felt like everybody on everybody I follow that's seems to post their plays pretty regular and recap. Seems like everyone had a pretty good weekend. Like the books, I will have to see how the books did. I guess there's always still the public, but it seems like a lot of people had some pretty solid weekends. I went 4-0 in college, I lost a second half play in the NFL. Otherwise, I lost a teaser. Otherwise, my NFL went pretty well too.
Yeah, it's like I didn't see really anyone who I would consider a Twitter NFL sharp. I didn't see any of them have losing cards. So I think it was a good weekend for the good guys. So that's a much more positive feeling than I had after week one when I was like, do I even understand this league anymore? Like, I don't even understand some of these results. How in the world could this team cover? Why in the world was this? You know, what in the world are we looking at? This is a much more
calm week one. You didn't know. It was just bad.
Yeah, no, I
was. You got it straightened out.
I was on sides that didn't just lose, but lost even against the teaser spread. So it was a much better feeling week two, and I'm fired up for week three. I got hot takes for days. Heading into week three here. Is there any particular reactions that you wanted to go through? I guess let me just touch on a couple things that were pretty, felt like at least like the world was turning in the right direction. The tried and true back-to-back road games fade spot was 3-0 yesterday. That was huge. Yep. I was on I supported all three of those sides. We were on KC laying the points against the Eagles. That one looked dicey at halftime because the Eagles were playing out of their minds again, and KC looked like they were having a little bit of a letdown after the Pats game. But then in the second half, the legs just wore down on the Eagles O-line. The KC D-line completely took over, and Wentz, it felt like Wentz was getting pressured on every drop back. And then the dam broke finally on the Eagles defense as well. And so it felt a little bit like the back-to-back travel. You know, the Eagles played, a ridiculously hard 60 minutes against the Redskins, then go on the road at KC, and in the second half they fell apart. The back-to-back travel for the Cardinals, at least it looked like they were, they were in some kind of a hangover. In the first half of that game, they didn't wake up until the fourth quarter in Indianapolis. And I was actually shocked that the Cardinals were able to even manage a win there. But boy, was that an awful game! And boy, did the Colts look bad. The Colts, who are home dogs
to the ground. Yeah, that, like if I wake up Monday morning and someone tells me that you're the manager. You wake up and you're drunk and haze, or you're the GM, the owner, whatever. And you tell me that you're a home dog. Maybe just fire the coach there. Just it's not working out. I know it sucks.
It's not working out.
Andrew Luck's not playing, but maybe we're just done with this. Yeah, no, that's like I'll touch that game.
Yeah, when you're 0-2. And you open up as a home dog to an 0-2 Browns team. And by the way, I had to look this up because I was like, man, I wonder if the Browns had even been road chalk more than once in the last 10 years. And it's there are two games in the last 10 years where the Browns have been favored on the road. They won one and they lost one. that's not a good sign for any of the staff in Indianapolis. And that game is a stay way away from for me. I mean, yeah. Kaiser, you know, the Browns Ravens game was weird, man. They should have covered. That total should have gone over. It stayed under. I was on an early under in that one. I got on the second half under pretty large. That was a good payday, but I really felt like the Browns should have covered that. They ended up out gaining the Ravens by almost like 60 or 100 yards, but they with five turnovers, they ended up losing and couldn't cover the 9-point spread.
The Ravens were turning people over.
That's crazy. Yeah, the Ravens defense is a turnover machine.
Plus 15 on turnovers this season, so far. So.
And the Ravens. Yeah, and they're huge turnovers too that are swinging field position and putting them in position to get field goals and easy touchdowns. So the Ravens, though, they did lose all-world offensive guard Marshall Yanda for the year. He looks like he has a broken ankle, which is a real shame because he's one of the better offensive linemen in the league, and that's gonna you know impact the one part of their offense that was working, which was their rushing attack. Now they have to head to London. They're playing on the in the Wembley Stadium against the Jaguars. This was a weird one. I don't know. This is screaming stay away probably. Because there's a lot of strange stuff going on here. The Ravens clearly have a top five defense. The Jags apparently are undecided at quarterback. Did you notice that? They wouldn't commit to starting Bortles?
If you want to wake up real early and bet on something in London, maybe do some Premier League bets on Sunday morning. maybe this isn't the game.
There's some great EPL action. Yeah, there is some terrible NFL action.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe get on Leicester.
All right, that's your sound life advice from Andy this week, and I dig that because this is a weird one. It felt like the Ravens should be favored by more than four, and you know, granted the Jags, this is either the fifth or sixth straight year they're playing a game in Wembley Stadium, so they should be a little more accustomed to the travel at this point. They should be a little more accustomed to the situations there. This is also feels like a little bit of an interesting trappy spot for underbackers. You know, you look at these two teams and you're like, wow, you got two really strong defenses here. You know, the Flacco on the road is bad. Flacco in London might be especially bad. Bortles on the road is bad. Bortles against the turnover creating defense seems like, you know, an accident waiting to happen. So you would think that maybe the under here would be the low.
Over under on Bortle pick sixes is even money on 1.5 right now.
I'll
take that action.
I think that's about a fair line. I think that's a fair line. I couldn't tell if you're seriously joking. That sounds about right. So
three out of the four went over. 1.5, huh? I think three out of the four funny. London games went over last year. One was, I don't know all the lines, but a couple of them almost hit 60, and then one hit 47. So that might – oh, that was Mexico City. I'm just looking at all the international games. But, yeah, two out of the three London games went over.
Yeah, so which, an interesting, you know,
some people subscribe to that. The Wembley, you know, what they think of Wembley. And one was played – maybe that's why it went under. It was Twickenham.
Oh, okay. Well, so a couple – yeah, you're bringing up something that I think you're going to hear a lot this week leading up to this spot, which is how often these games are going over, in particular the Jags games. I think this is their sixth year. I think they had 5 years previous where they played in Wembley, and this is their sixth. But I could be wrong. This might be their fifth. But I know for a fact that every game that the Jags have played in Wembley has gone over the total, one a year for the last 4 or 5 years. It'll be sitting at 40.
How this goes.
I know it's only sitting at 40. That's not that much. But you know, this is a tough one. This is a really tough one. You could see, each team, doing what 30, 35 rushing attempts here, and both teams kind of somewhat afraid to throw the ball.
Jacksonville has been very committed to quite a few attempts. They've been pounding the young kid.
Yeah, and on the other side, the Jags, on the other side of the ball for the Jags defense, with Yanda out, their D-line could be a little disruptive. So, if anything, even though the Jags quarterback is allegedly undecided, I'm guessing they're going to start Bortles. And with the last angle on this, the Ravens are coming home next weekend and playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in week 4.
Look at
that. With no extra rest. So you could see a situation here where the Jags catch the Ravens with their pants down a little bit here. Ravens feeling pretty confident about themselves off a 2-0 start. They beat two teams in division. They're looking ahead at Pittsburgh week 4 to try to get their third division win. And the Jags catch them a little bit unprepared. The Ravens are less accustomed to playing in London. So this is, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the line movement here. They opened it at -4. It looks like most everybody's snapping or is laying those points. I'm seeing about 70% or so of the early bet tickets are on Baltimore. Again, the total opened to 40.5, and we're seeing most of the tickets on the under there. This could be a good contrarian play here, where you take the Jags and take the over.
You just gotta get the Jags to. I mean, where do they have to hit when you go dog over?
You
get them to a certain amount of points, you can't lose both. That'd be
about
19 points.
No, even less than that. Even less, because you're gonna tease 18, the Jags.
Yep. Oh, in a teaser.
If you see 4.5 pop on Baltimore, you could tease the Jags out to 10.5, and then you only need 35 points to get that over, which means that 15 points gets you there. 15 plus points gets you there for the Jags. Interesting angles. Okay, we'll circle back and touch on this a lot
less than that. It's like 12
on the Wednesday pod. Yeah, we'll come back to this on the Wednesday pod. But this is that's an interesting look for the Sunday early game. What do you think of in general the NFC this weekend looking extremely mediocre?
Outside of the Falcons.
Yeah, and the Falcons. And
obviously, Falcons. Opening a stadium like that, they're going to be jacked up, and that offense is still something to be. I was impressed with the defense. It sucks they lose Beasley there, but
The defense lost Beasley, and hey, the Falcons were what? They were one. They were a Jordan Howard not dropping the ball on the goal line away from being 1-1, right? So it's tough to say that the Falcons really are, the class of the NFC, although. When you look at records, they're 2-0. So,
Now, if you sat and watched the Carolina game, and you felt bad about
Carolina.
Watching that game,
yeah, they have
boy, and then you're like, well, finally, it's over. We've got that ugly game out of the way for the week, and then Seattle hits the TV.
Seattle, right? Seattle.
So bad.
Awful. What happened? Jeez.
I
was bummed about.
I had them in a money line parlay, which, at that point, they're like -900 in the parlay just as a fun leg to throw in there. And like, I'm going to lose this. Like, they did come through in the end. Yeah, they're laying or they're getting 2.5 to 3 points going to Tennessee next Sunday.
Yeah, it's like going to be really, really.
At 2.5. I don't know if I'll.
It's going to be really tough to stay away from that. I'm going to almost certainly be on Seattle. That's an afternoon spot. They're not making them play early, which is interesting because even though they're traveling to the East Coast or the Eastern time zone, they're gonna put them in the afternoon, which is kind of an interesting look. It's gonna be impossible for me to stay away from Seattle. I just feel like they are a play away here and there from opening up enough of a lead in these games to just absolutely throttle some teams. And Tennessee. Although they were able to kind of, they dug themselves out of a hole you know, they're 0-1. I thought they looked good. They still have some question marks in their red zone play calling. Turns out Derrick Henry is still a legit back. And so maybe DeMarco Murray needs to take a couple more weeks to, you know, rest and rehabilitate, and they can let Henry be the bell cow for a little while. But you know, this seems like a little bit of a mismatch because the Seattle defense is still absolutely out of this world good. It's just a matter of if they can put anything together on offense. So it's going to be tough to stay away from Seattle this week. And I was actually surprised to see them open Tennessee as a short favorite here. I think the look ahead on this was
I thought it was a little more closer. I thought it'd be and you know, just going based on what's happened the first 2 weeks, I thought maybe closer to a pick, like a home pick. But yeah, that it might be, it may, you know, might blow up in your face too. But Seattle getting some points, we'll see what that offensive line. Could. You know, that offensive line has been,
it's been so bad,
as predicted.
Yeah.
But no, I was so on bad. I was on the Titans this week. That was my most confident play. That was my heaviest play, and I thought that was going to bite me in the butt with the way the red zone offense was, especially in the first half. They should have been up. They should have been up big. They should have been up bigger. And then finally, it did kind of, it corrected itself, and it got me the win there in the second half. That was my double reaction or double overreaction spot. I liked a lot.
Yeah,
nice to get an early win right away.
Speaking of interesting double overreaction spots, the one of the games that kind of, you know, this whole week is setting up for, I'm just going to be holding my nose and grabbing.
Have you grabbed any early numbers yet?
These games. The only one I grabbed was I put a little on the under in the Thursday night game, Rams-Niners. I saw that at 42 when it opened at Bookmaker, and so I snuck under that. And that was more of a gut reaction play than having a hard angle. I've been waiting for that total for like 3 weeks now, just because the Thursday night is a tough night for rookie head coaches because, as we talked about in our season previews, they, you know, they have to put together game plans a full week in advance so that they can get their guys right off the ground and running. It could be ugly. I'm starting to feel like the Niners is the right play on the Thursday night game now, more so than I was about the under. I'm concerned about a couple of things. I'm concerned about a number of things on the Rams. But my only knee-jerk grab when I looked at the lines last night was under in the Rams-Niners game at 42, and that's mostly because I expect it to end or close at like 38 or 39 or something like that. So
I grabbed a little bit of the Bears at home at 7.5, and that was there. Yeah. And then a little bit of
I think that was a good one.
At home at 3.5, which now that's
that
down
was
at
an
2.5.
One. Yeah, that was a good grab. I think the Raiders are going to dominate that game.
I think they're the better team, and I might buy out of that one later on. But
it's okay. If you got the hook,
they're so much better at home. Cousins is better at home. I like the Redskins in wherever the hell they are in the DMV there, Landover. Yeah. What's the name of the town that you were saying?
Raljohn,
yep. So those are just kind of early numbers grabs because I think those will move around a little.
Yeah,
and
that was the interesting one.
Everything else is kind of set for a bit.
Right, I'm hoping that we see more support for the Dolphins because I want to get the best number possible in the Jets game. And the Jets, this is maybe one of like two or three times all season I'm actually going to put money on the Jets. They are in an advantageous spot because the Dolphins just spent a week in West Coast time and now are traveling back to Miami. I think they're going to have a tough time adjusting to the West to East, just on the body clock. And then they got to get prepped all week for a divisional opponent. Then they got to travel to New York. I think all of this is going to scramble them a little bit, and it's going to be an ugly game. I could see this playing out a lot like we saw the – the Cardinals Colts game, kind of just an ugly game where the Jets can get some, you know, put some points on the board early and get people thinking that an upset's brewing, but somehow some way the Dolphins come back and scramble and get a 2-point win.
Plug that one into my circadian rhythms model. See how that works coming back from that coast.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who recently spent like a little under a week in Hawaii and then came back to California, 3 hours difference. It took me a good week to get my head unscrambled from the time zone shift. And I'm not even trying to play football. I'm just trying to, you know, do a desk job. Obviously. So I think that's an interesting spot to look. And I'm seeing right now 90% of early backers are piling on Miami. If we could get that number out to 7, 7.5, I'll be pretty psyched to grab 7 points, 7.5 points with the Jets. Even 6 points, I think, is fine because, like I said, I grade this one as like a Miami by a field goal type of win.
I think it's a very low scoring game, and if you can get plus 7 in a game that's probably going to end up somewhere in the 30s, that's not a bad angle.
Talk to me about this one. Am I crazy for holding my nose and taking 13 points with the Texans in New England?
They usually Deshaun do pretty Watson, well against the Patriots.
They do. Deshaun Watson was pretty bad though, man. I mean, his throwing motion and his velocity was pretty brutal against the Bengals. They kind of should have lost that game. And the only thing going for them is they get extra rest, right? I mean, and I the Patriots. It was an impressive score line, I guess. Like, you felt like they were never really in doubt of losing that game to the Saints. But I watched a lot of that game, and things are still not quite right in New England. It still felt like a little bit of a preseason sort of feel to that team. Their defense still is not that great. It felt like the Saints kind of, the Saints kind of mushed themselves in some spots more so even than the Patriots played particularly well on defense. The Saints defense is such a liability that the Patriots were able to score with just doing a little bit of innovative offense. But still,
Bradford drops 29 on you, you know?
Yeah,
you
right.
Like, obviously, right. Brady's going to put up 40s.
Right.
No, I don't know what to think of the Patriots yet.
I don't either. I actually think that it's worth fading the Patriots week 3 and week 4. I think it's not going to be till week 5 until we see them snap out of preseason mode. So it opened at New England minus 12. It's been heavily backed so far on New England. They're out to 13. There is about a 90% chance that I'm going to be grabbing the points on Houston, even though Deshaun Watson does not look like an NFL quarterback yet. There's some other interesting ones this week. This is going to be a great week, man. I'm excited for week 3. I'm probably going to be holding my nose and grabbing the Bengals as well. Both Cincinnati and Houston are interesting spots to look because they got extra rest after the Thursday night game. We talked about this a little bit on the Megapod last week, and it's worth bringing up again here. But early in the season, if your team has a little bit of extra rest, just because they're just getting into the rhythm of playing football week in, week out, it's tough on the body. And if you can get an extra 3 days to get your body right, if your coaches have an extra 3 days to see what the other team's scheme, how it's looking, how it's breaking down, and craft a specific approach to do something positive, then you're going to be in a little bit of an advantage situation. And we saw that all four teams that had extra rest leading into week 2 were able to cover the spread. One of them even won outright as an underdog in Miami the Chargers.
Which shouldn't have, but...
Right.
That's the way it turned out.
I know. Well, they got to get right here.
I mean, they got a new offensive coordinator. Dalton, doesn't matter if he's not the biggest name, but he's a big enough name. But he might be in jeopardy of, like, getting benched for McCarron at this point.
I wouldn't be
they need to get their shit in the get here.
I wouldn't be I wouldn't be bummed about that, to be honest. I think maybe week five they pull that. After week five, what do they got left? They got Green Bay, Cleveland, and Buffalo before their bye. So I, you know, I could see if things don't, if they're 1-4 heading into their bye, that's a good time to pull the switcheroo, put McCarron in there. He's not bad. See if he could do any better than Dalton. Because they're
going to like an old National League Baseball move where you do the double switch, where you put McCarron in and replace the coach too.
You know, I've been doing some research on this because I was nervous that Lewis was going to be the first coach fired, and Nukar props on that.
Who did you take in the prop of all, I can't remember now.
I got Caldwell.
Good call.
Yeah. He needs to start losing. He needs to start losing starting tonight. He needs to lose like 7 straight heading into their bye for that to happen. But I've been doing some research. It seems like Marvin Lewis is probably going to get to leave on his own terms, which probably means end of this season. So I think they probably pulled the switcheroo. They probably test drive McCarron for the last half of the season. They're clearly going to move on from Dalton after the season is over, unless something totally crazy happens. And I would expect they move on from Marvin Lewis as well. So that'll be an interesting. But this week, with a little extra time to prepare, with a little bit of fire under their asses, with Green Bay, Green Bay's hurt pretty good, man. When Mike Daniels went out of that game on defense, they had zero pressure up the middle. That was what they desperately needed to disrupt the flow of the Atlanta offense. Made a huge difference in that game. So watch out. That's the key injury to really watch for, not just this week, but like going forward. Most people are going to be tuned into the fantasy news, and they want to know if Jordy Nelson's going to be in or out. But really, look for Mike Daniels. It's much more important, especially given that the weakness of the Bengals seems to be their offensive line, in particular the middle of their offensive line. So if you have Mike Daniels in the game, this becomes a less enticing angle on the Bengals. But let's just assume that Nelson's in, Daniels is out. Bengals get you're getting 9 points. That's a spot I'm looking for the dog to perform.
Yeah, that's a couple of pretty bad offensive lines. Maybe that'd be a fun little $20 over total sacks prop in that game. Probably be 5.5 or 6.
Yeah, that's not a bad look. I will say, you know who looked like a rejuvenated young man on Thursday Night Football was Geno Atkins. Boy, was he a difference maker for the Bengals on defense. You can see some good sack numbers pile up in that game. So that'll be a fun one. Do they get a touchdown this week?
Do they get a touchdown?
They got it, man. Let me ask you this, because this is an interesting topic floating around Twitter. Who do you think the best team in the AFC West is? You got 3 teams right now sitting at 2-0. Chiefs, Broncos, Raiders. At various times in the first 2 weeks, all 3 have looked like absolute world beaters. Who are you backing out of those 3 to win the AFC West right now? You had to pick one.
I'd still probably go with the favorite. That's a long term. It's a better offense. Crabtree looked pretty good.
Crabtree does, man. He is.
Cooper.
Right. Jeez, seriously, man. Crabtree is a wide receiver 1A, and Cooper is a 1B at this point. Crabtree is doing things, man. Raiders.
They all have to play each other yet, and I think the Raiders can. They can break through on that Denver defense. I think obviously they can at home. They'll beat the Raiders and the Chiefs at home, and those are tougher places to play in Mile High and Arrowhead. And I know it's not called Mile High, but won out of those 2. You know, if they go 5-1, 4-2 in the division, and then just take care of business at home the rest of the year, I think they'll end up on top.
Yeah, I like you. You were saying you're interested in you got the number grab on Washington. I like the Raiders this week. I think they win comfortably against the Redskins. My angle on that is basically just the rare case where you see the the West Coast team on the East Coast in prime time, where they're like and in prime, you know, their bodies are ready to play out of the gate, and the East Coast teams are a little bit winding down for the day. Something you see rarely in the season, but when you do, you usually get an overperformance from the West Coast team in that spot. And so I like the Raiders. If that's dipped down to 2.5, I'm probably going to grab 2.5 there and look for the Raiders to pull away in that game. And the Raiders do look like they're absolutely the real deal. You know who they remind me of a lot is last year's Falcons. They have the ability to put points up early, right? And they kind of have to, right? Like their defense is not great. Yeah. Yeah. And if they can put points up early, then they're going to keep you at arm's length for the remainder of the game. Their defense needs a little bit of a lead to be able to kind of go full speed at you. But, you know, if they're up by a touchdown or 10 points, then they're going to unleash Khalil Mack on you. They're going to put some interesting safety and corner blitzes at you to disrupt your quarterback's feel for the game. And, you know, they remind me a lot of the Falcons from last year, where they get a lead and then they play downhill. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. And, you know, their defense still feels like fool's gold, but as long as they have a lead, they're going to be in position to win a lot of games this year. So look out for the Raiders. The Chiefs, we saw Alex Smith kind of come back to earth a little bit yesterday, I thought. You know, I'm probably going to stay away from this game, but they're going to the Chargers this week, and they're a small fave. Looks like the books opened them up at -3.5, but that got bet down already to 3 and 2.5 in some places. Do you think the Chiefs are on upset alert this week?
I can't get a read on that team. Boy, week one was weird. No one saw that coming, and then I thought they'd play a little better against the Eagles. And I guess they end up pulling stuff out, but yeah, that's a wait and see for me. I gotta wait and put that through the ticker a little. I think they could absolutely lose. I think that's the kind of team that can lose every week.
Yeah,
like just they're not set up to blow people out, and I don't know if they're not set up to like protect the lead all that well, apparently.
Right. They still have Alex Smith. And as we saw, you know, Alex Smith is a solid lead, and just go
3 and out. You get a lead, you're up by 7 or 10, and you go 3 and out a bunch. That's not what good teams do. Good teams put long extended drives, go down there, take 6 minutes and kick a field goal and, you know, win games that way.
Right. And, you know, I think some of yesterday's difficulty for them was Philly is actually a pretty good team, I think.
It's starting to shape up that way, isn't it?
Yeah, they're a pretty good defense, at least. Wentz needs time. If Wentz is getting protection, he can do some pretty excellent things, I think. But that was a pretty good game and a pretty good matchup, that Philly KC game. I think you're talking about two teams that are in playoff contention right there. Clearly the Chiefs are 2-0 in the West, and the Chiefs, we talked about this how many times, I've lost count, but they got the easiest damn schedule, man. I could see them getting surprised this week by the Chargers, although the Chargers continue to find ways to lose games. It's getting to be a bad joke at this point. Maybe we just back off and just let the Chargers be the Chargers. And
I almost grabbed their number. It was 3.5. I looked at it. Yeah. Maybe I even did. I should look. I probably saddled myself with some Chargers yesterday when I was just popping through early lines and putting bets in.
Yeah, it might be a decent first half look against the Chiefs. Because the Chiefs, I'm gonna think about that. All right, well, that's pretty good coverage here. You got a feel for what Minnesota's gonna be doing, preparation wise, or how they match up against Tampa Bay. That should be a good game this weekend. No clue.
That one's off right now at 5 dimes.
Yeah, it truly is. They're not gonna. The books are not gonna get. They're not gonna get hung out to dry like they did against the Steelers with the 11th hour pulling Bradford for a.
Yeah, I think they lost a lot on that game. A lot of people pounded in the morning when it was looking, you know, not great for him. Did you have anything tonight?
So I'm on the under.
What'd you get for a number there? Sitting at 42.
I'm at 43.
Right now.
Okay. It's sitting at 42 right now. I grabbed it. I think I had 43.5 actually, because I bet it pretty early. My feel for these prime time games is still way off. Yep. Here we go. We saw the Giants put up a solid F against the Dallas defense in week one in prime time. And I thought to myself, man, maybe Dallas's defense is better than they look on paper. And then they go into Mile High and they gave up whatever the Broncos wanted in the passing game, whatever they wanted. What in the heck? If the Dallas defense is that bad, and I get it, their secondary was a little banged up. I get it. If Dallas is on the road, out of conference, off a division win, that's like a classic letdown spot. I get it. But like, if Dallas's defense is that, then how bad is the Giants offense?
McAdoo. We'll see what he can do.
McAdoo. Well, you know, if it turns out he was saving the good plays for tonight, and they end up hanging 30 points and this game goes over, then I'm officially staying away from the Giants for at least the first half of the first half of the season. But you know, I don't love Stafford on the road. I don't love Detroit, as we've talked about ad nauseum. Detroit was high on my list of teams looking at win total unders. I'm expecting Detroit to go on a little bit of a losing streak here starting tonight. I see that the line is still -3. There's obviously been some pretty heavy money on Detroit here. Because I think it opened at about 5, right? Yeah. Some of that may be that that's people expected OBJ was going to play, and now he's
that
maybe
minus
not.
3 is even juiced. At 5 dimes, it's -3 with 25 cents.
Ooh, okay. Are you expecting to see Odell out there?
I've heard this and that, and I've been trying to figure out if anyone has any information on that. It's just kind of find out. I think he plays. I think that little ankle thing, where he said, you know, he was more hurt than it let on. I think he was just playing games there. I think he'll play.
Yeah, my impression when last week he was saying, oh, it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks to heal this, that felt like something his agent kind of informed him to say to the media in an effort to try to, you know, make some hay in contract negotiations, because he's still playing for next to, you know, he's playing for probably 20 cents of what he's worth, especially to the team as it's currently constituted. The Giants offense needs him so desperately. And if he ends up sitting out of this game, then I'm going to feel really good about the under. And if he's in there and they score 30, I'm going to, you know, curse McAdoo till we record the next podcast on Wednesday. And then, we'll see how it goes, man.
Yeah, I haven't. I might look at a prop here just as an action junkie to put something on tonight. But I won't have a side, and I don't know if I'd grab the under at 42. I'd rather have it at the better number. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see. I'll probably just watch it and enjoy it, and just enjoy some football.
Yeah, with all the support for Detroit and with all the support on the under right now, I'm very. Very prepared for a 24-20 Giants win, going half point over double my total, and double bad beat for all the Detroit Packers. I'm being a little facetious, but it does feel like there was so much success over the weekend, at least in our little community. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of hurt tonight. So I'm prepared for it.
I think besides that teaser, the only NFL bet I lost was I went small on Panthers second half said they can't. Can't continue to not score in the second half. And was I wrong?
It was close though, man. They had that entire
goal line there, and that was it.
Yeah, that was an easy touchdown. They should have had that one easy. And
we'll talk a little about that on Wednesday or Thursday. But yeah, Cam looks off.
He does. We'll circle back on this because I do want to talk about that game a little bit because everything in my DNA is saying grab the points here on New Orleans in this game. It's at six right now. These two teams, I think, are closer than they look based on record and based on based on results we've seen so far this season. But if any team can make Cam look like the old Cam, it's probably the Saints defense. So we'll circle back and talk a lot more about that on the Wednesday pod.
Let's go defense tonight.
Let's go defense.
Hopefully you get us an under, man. Are you 0-9 on evening games?
Getting close.
Getting close.
No, it is.
There hasn't been Monday.
No, we are up to 9. Oh no, I'm sorry. It's not.
Two Mondays, two Thursdays, two Sunday.
0-6 on the primetime games. Although I did have a couple of outside of the posted card, I had a couple of winners, but that's fine. This is looking to snap the primetime schneid for me here on this under 43.5. So let's get it.
Best of luck.
All right, man. Enjoy the end of week two, and let's dive back into week number three with our normal handicapping focus pod on Wednesday. Talk to you Wednesday, Andy.
Sounds good. We'll see you then.
All right. Bye-bye.